thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. Our verses for today are from Psalm 105, 1 through 7. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come together and fellowship with each other. I ask a special blessing upon this congregation and a special blessing upon Jose. Lord, please remove all distractions and help us to come away from our time together edified. These things I ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
One of the things my wife and I like to do during the late summer and fall is to go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And not only is it beautiful, and we always comment of how neat every farm is, right? And how everything is in its place. But one of the things that we enjoy just looking at is the craftsmanship of those individuals that sew quilts, right? And the time it takes to put one of these quilts together and how it all falls, that the idea that the person has is laid out in each individual quilt, which is so different. Now, there is a story of a grandmom who for a long time made a quilt for each one of her family members, the grandkids, and eventually she was near the end of her life, and one of the grandchildren, the older one, the daughter, would come on the weekend and say to the grandmother, "You've made one for each and every one of us. Who is this one for?" Right? And the grandmother would say, "Well, this one's special, right? Because this one really is for the entire family." Right? And the granddaughter would say, "But why?" And the grandmother would spend the afternoon and say, "Well, this one tells a story of our family. Each piece of material is from a family member. Here," she says, "you will see a piece of fabric from my wedding dress. On this other side, you will see a shirt that your grandfather wore at our wedding. You will see a blanket from your brother who passed away." And so on and so forth, right? She spent the whole afternoon just telling her while she was still sewing and finishing this blanket. Now, years later, as the grandmother passed away and this child was now an adult living their lives, she found herself distressed because of a situation she was going through. And she was able to find that blanket and just wrap herself. And what she was able to remember, right, was not only the joy, not only the sorrow, the happiness that her grandmother told her, right, but in the center of it all was God and how he was faithful and how he has always been constant in the family's life, and that he was one that should be remembered, that when everybody else lets you down, he will not let you down. And also, and she found encouragement and saying, you know what, even though I don't have an answer, I could trust God that he will get me through this current situation. And that's what Psalm 105 is like. It's like an old quilt that you can wrap yourself in. And it's a quilt that points all of these great things that God has done in the past. And just like he's done these things in the past, you and I can go to Psalm 105. And when we feel disconnected, when we feel discouraged, we can find encouragement in Psalm 105 because it calls us to remember, right? And sometimes we have a hard time remembering, right? It's always easy to look at the difficult times. It's always easy to be overwhelmed by the things that this life throws at us. And here's the thing, right? God has been faithful through it all, right? And sometimes when we're going through our difficult moments, that is when we need God. But here's the thing, when we're going through good times, that's when we probably need him most, right? Because usually that's when we tend to forget, right? We think we have it all under control. And here's the thing about Psalm 105, right? It's about praising God as we remember, right? So we've been going through the Psalms, and you can find sometimes patterns, right? So Psalm 105 is about God's faithfulness, and then Psalm 106 is about the Israelites' unfaithfulness, right? And even though they're unfaithful, God is still faithful, right? And he doesn't let them go. And he doesn't say, you know what, let me start all over. And that should be an encouragement to you and for me, because I sometimes feel that God should start all over with me, right? And he doesn't turn his back on me. You know, so it is a quilt of different pieces. And each one of those pieces is a history of what God has done. It is his story, not our story. It is to his glory that we worship him, right? Because when we think about what he's done, all of a sudden, our pain and suffering isn't so big. And that's what God wants. God wants us to lift our eyes up, right? And see all that he has done. And here's the thing, right? The stories of the Old Testament are for you and for me, right? They are to encourage us. And that's what Psalm 105 does. It captures these great movements of God, right? So in the end, God does keep his word. And to that, we should say amen, right? Because here's the thing, you and I at different times, we fail in keeping our word. right in. But God keeps his word, right in. And we're going to look at these verses, right? I had Micah just read verses 1-7, but we're going to kind of go through all of them, right? In big snapshots and see what we can learn, right? So, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell all of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Right? It's scripture is telling you and me to do a couple things here, right? To give thanks, right? It doesn't say, well, do you feel like giving thanks? It says, give thanks, right? And we've learned in the past that when we see the word Lord in all capitals, that means Jehovah. And when we think of the word and name Jehovah, you and I are supposed to think of the God of the covenants, the God who made a promise, the God who keeps his promise, the one who doesn't break his promise, even though we do. Right? He's persistent. And you can hear it, right? Make known his deeds, right? So we're supposed to tell of what he's done in the past, what he's done in your life. And we're supposed to sing with joy all that he has done. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and his judgments. He utters, O offsprings of Abraham, his servants, children of Jacob, his chosen one. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Right? He's calling his children to himself. He's saying, wake up! Right? And just as scripture is calling them to wake up, he's calling us to wake up. Not only is he calling the children of Jacob his chosen one, right? It's, are you God's chosen one today? And here's the thing. You should be grateful that a holy God in relationship with you is willing to pass judgment on you. Right? Sometimes we don't look at it that way. Right? It's, but he passes judgment on you because he loves you. But in the end, these seven verses call you and I to remember, to wrap ourselves in that quilt as we remember the stories of what God has done, because those stories are our stories. We're supposed to hold on to them. That isn't a God who just worked in their life. He is a God who has had a plan, and that plan has been unfolding, and we are the beneficiaries of that plan. We're called to remember. And as we remember, here's the thing, right? We are supposed to then add our stories to this story, right? What has God done in your life? Where has God pulled you out of your own muck and mire? Where has God passed judgment on you to correct you, to set you straight? We're called to remember, right? And then, as we remember, you'll hear a couple things being repeated. You'll hear the personal pronoun he, right? And the he is in reference to God, right? God is doing something. And then in this section, you'll hear over and over again the covenant. And sometimes you and I might have a problem with that covenant, but think of it this way, as a promise. And if you have a problem with that idea of a promise, think of an oath, right? And here's the thing about a covenant, a promise, an oath that God makes with his people, right? Yes, it's unfair because God makes a covenant promise and he knows we're not going to keep our end of it. We're going to break it. But he's going to be persistent and he's going to keep his promise. He remembers his covenant forever. The words that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham. He swore the promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give you the land of Canaan as a portion of your inheritance. Right, these are the words he said to Abram before he became Abraham. And every time there was a child born, God reiterated the same thing to them in Genesis. First to Isaac and then to Jacob. So that they would remember that he is a God in relationship with them. He is a God who is in relationship with you, with me. When Abraham was in the land, they were in the land as a stranger. But then he says, there's going to come a time where I'm going to give you that land as your inheritance. You will no longer be a stranger in this land. Abraham, the one who God called out of the city of Ur. There's so many different snapshots of his life. Right, but the one that probably stands out for me is the one that's pointed out in the next couple of verses that we're going to be looking at. Right, it's remember when Abraham was with Abimelech and all of a sudden he was frightened and he said that his wife Sarah was his sister. And then Abimelech was going to take her, Sarah, as his wife, and then God intervened. Isn't it amazing how God intervenes? He makes sure that certain things don't happen. Right? But then he would say these words, right? When they were few in numbers, of a little account, and sojourned in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed one, do my prophet no harm. Right? Abram was the prophet that God was talking about. And he would tell Abimelech and many others, do him no harm. And here's the part that stands out, right? Even though he was a lying prophet, right? God was going to keep his covenant promise. Ask yourself, right? Do you ever find yourself stretching the truth a little bit? Do you ever find yourself maybe omitting some information so you can walk around saying, I didn't lie, right? But God knows, right? God knows, right? God knows our hearts just as he knew Abraham's heart, right? But you can hear, right, the journey of the beginning of Israel and the people of Israel through Abraham. We then turn our attention to Joseph. Joseph would be the youngest of Jacob's sons. And Joseph heard a a word from God early on that he would be ruler, prince over, right? And when he was going through his trials and troubles, I'm sure he had doubts and questions. Did God get this wrong? Right? Don't you ever wonder, like when you're looking for God to answer a prayer and he's not answering that prayer fast enough, does he hear me? Right? I'm sure Joseph felt that way. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supplies of bread, and he sent the man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters and his neck put in a collar of iron until when he has said, came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Right? It's amazing how in Psalm 105, we're given a little bit more information than what we have in Genesis. We have him being put in fetters, shackled on his neck, right? It must have been a painful situation. Like sometimes we think that when he left Potiphar's house and was put in jail, he was just put in jail, right? But he was shackled, right? And from what we can tell, a little bit over 2 years, he was in that prison where he felt forgotten after he interpreted those two dreams. Lord, did you forget me? Lord, did you really didn't mean for me to receive that dream that I was going to be a prince over all of this? This looks different, Lord. Right? But the Lord did it to test him. The king sent and released him, and the rulers of the people set him free and made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions. Right? That's what God does. Right? When you least expect it, right, all of a sudden, God turns it all around. And here's the thing, right? It's God is in the middle of his plan unfolding, and the Pharaoh thinks that he is exercising his authority and power, right? It's the reason why I believe Pharaoh made him second in command. It was his way of controlling Joseph. And if he can control Joseph, he can also control the God that Joseph worshiped. Right? It's, you know, people are always leveraging to bind his prince at the pleasure to teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel came to Egypt, Jacob sojourned to the land of Ham, which was Goshen. Right, so it was prophesied earlier on to Abraham that the people would go to Egypt, that they would be there in captivity for 400 years. So Jacob was just fulfilling all of that. But then you and I know the story that then the pharaohs came and went and eventually they forgot about Joseph, right? And then they were making life hard on the Israelites. The order that the first male child be sacrificed. Right. All of these stories are intertwined so that we can get to the story of the Exodus. Right? Because the story of the Exodus communicates to you and to me that God made a way where there was no way. And for us today, we know that in Jesus Christ, God made a way where there was no way. We have this story of Moses, that God would call him, right? It's 40 years living in the house of Pharaoh, 40 years living out in Midian, right? That's 80, and then 40 years leading the children of Israel. And through all of that, we see God's faithfulness. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them strong than their foes. And he turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. Right? So all of this was part of God's plan. Right? And here's the thing, right? You and I live life, and if we don't stop and say, Lord, what is your plan for my life? You're going to be probably struggling. Right? But because part of it is to align ourselves with his will for our lives. Maybe God has you in a specific place so that you would come to an awareness of his will for your life. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he has chosen. They performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. When I was reading this, it struck me, right? It's like Moses performs God's miracles. It wasn't Moses performing miracles on his behalf, right? That God is the one who has equipped him to do the things that needed to get done. And all of that would lead to these 10 plagues, right? Each one of these plagues were a direct attack on one of the 80 plus gods or goddesses that the Egyptians worshipped. Right, and you and I, right, when we read them, right, from Genesis, right, the order is the water was turned to blood, frogs, lice, flies, pestilence of the livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, death of the firstborn. However, when we read them in Psalm 105, the author omitted two of them, but then he chose to change the order and he started with darkness, all the way down to the death of the firstborn. And like I said, right, it's each one of these plagues went against the very things that the Egyptians worshipped. And each one of these gods or goddesses represented one of three things: the Nile River, the land, or the sky. And all of a sudden, in Psalm 105, he starts with darkness because it goes right against their god, Ra, which was the god of the sky. And all of a sudden, for 3 days, he became ineffective, not present. Right? Can you imagine a god that you would worship all of a sudden not being available? Imagine worshiping a frog as a god, and all of a sudden you have thousands of frogs. Right? And because you worship a frog, guess what you cannot do is kill a frog. Right? And all of a sudden, when they die, right, all those slimy little bodies are all over the place. Right? But that was the struggle, right? And God was saying, I am sovereign over all of it. As a matter of fact, your gods are powerless because in reality, they don't exist. But each one of these plagues leading up to the death of the firstborn was so that the Egyptians would say, get out! We've had enough, right? But when they leave, right, they just don't leave with their stuff, right? They leave with a little bit more. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribe who stumble. Egypt was glad when they departed. Like, get out of here, right? But the dread of them had fallen upon it. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give them light by night. Right, so here's the cloud was the presence of God, the Shekinah glory that the Old Testament talks, but it's really in reference of God's protection from the sun. Right? That's why the cloud is there. Right? So that the sun wouldn't scorch them in the desert. And then the fire so that they would be able to see where they're going. Right? It's sometimes we don't make these little connections. They asked, and he brought quail, and he gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. Right? And here's the thing that stands out, right? It says they ask. They didn't ask. They were complaining. Right? They were complaining. And remember when all of a sudden the quail came? What did they say? We have too much quail, right? But God, even though they complained, God provided. He provided quail, manna from heaven, and water out of the rock. The very thing you would need in a desert. For he remembered his holy promise, right? And when you reread these verses, right, again, see how many times you see he. That's God. God is doing something, right, in the life of the Israelites. God remembered his promise in Abraham, his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones, with singing. Right? This is what God has done. And he gave them the land of the nations, and they took possession of its fruits from the people's toil, that they might keep his statutes and observe his Lord. Praise the Lord. Right? It's how we end the psalm is how we began the psalm, right? With singing, praising, remembering. Right. Now that story that's connected to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our story. Right? It's not like something that's over there, right? That is our story because that is a story that points to God's redemptive plan. Right? And it's a story that captures a greater plan in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And when we say, praise the Lord, what we are really saying is hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and his holy name. To sing worship. To sit and wrap yourself in this quilt, this holy quilt of all that he has done. To know, whether you believe it or not, that God is the one who keeps his word. Right? And if you do not read God's word, you will not know his plan. We are encouraged to read his word. We are encouraged to look at his word, to ingest God's word. It's the reason why we have those bracelets with those three verses to memorize. Because here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 16, as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Right, and that comes from Leviticus 11, verse 44, right, where God's word says, be holy as I am holy, and do not defile yourself. Don't let nothing that is unholy into your body, into your sight, into your lips. We are in relationship with a holy God. And we see that fulfilled in his fullness in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So my hope for each and every one of you is that he is your Lord and Savior. Our hope for those children at VBS, as Joe said, is that as they sign that cross, right, that they would come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. Right? I was talking with Enid and I said, you know what? Next year we're gonna do 5 days, right? And we're gonna look to reach more children, right? And because why are we here, right? If it's not to reach a community for God. Because they too need to remember that story is their story. Right? It isn't a story for us just to keep to ourselves. Right? It is a story to be shared. So I'm told that this young teenager, an older young woman now, as she was sitting there with this quilt that her grandmother had made, she would sit with her own children. And her children would talk about the different colors and the patches and the wordings that were, and she would then tell the story to her own children, right, as they themselves wrapped themselves in this quilt and they wrapped themselves in the history of their family, which was rooted and grounded in God, right? And my hope is that as you hear this story, that you would think of how can you keep the story going in your family? How can you make sure that the next generation would know? Right? And it's all to God's glory because he loves you. He loves you. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful. Grateful that you keep your word, that you keep your covenant promise. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that as we open our hearts, that we would receive from you and hold on to your word, because your word is true. Your word is encouraging to each and every one of us who put our faith and trust in the word of Scripture that conveys the story of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.